I'm going to be so sad when I change that.
Man, I swear to God, every time I freaking hear that intro, man, I just go into like a vibe, man. I just want to sit there and just be like, yeah. It's like chilling out in a fucking drop top, you know, like beer in my hand, you know, whatever. Yeah,
wait till you see the new one with some of the added additions with Doc Shupp and Ronnie J in the title screen. It's going to be nice.
I am looking forward to it.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Joe. What's going on, fellas? Fellas.
All right. It is a good morning.
And it's daylight savings time too.
Dumbest fucking shit of all time, dude. Fucking shit of all. For reference, like again, this is me going back to growing up in Arizona. Like Arizona does not do daylight savings. So growing up, I had anything with daylight savings. It's just like half the year TV shows started a different time. You know what I mean? Like that's basically what it was. And then it wasn't until I actually joined the Army that I got to experience daylight savings time on a regular basis. And I was just like, why do we do this twice a year? Like, I don't fucking get this. I don't understand what the point was like when they started it. And it's like one of those things, it's almost like the Army. Like, tell me, like we're not still doing daylight savings time in 2021 because that's just the way it's always been at this point. You know what I mean? It's been less than 100 years, but like how fucking worthless is it? You know? Yeah,
you know what really throws me off is mountain time. Mountain time is you know, because you got Eastern, Central,
Mountain,
then Mountain, and then fucking, you know, West. Pacific, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Technically, Arizona would be considered Mountain time if it did daylight savings. It would be full-time considered Mountain Standard. And if time ever goes back to just Standard time, Arizona will be lumped in with the Mountain Standard time. But it's really ridiculous, like that. Yeah, like twice a year, you know, we'd either be on Mountain time or we'd be on Pacific time growing up. But it was like, but the time never changed in Arizona. The time, like, we never had to reset our clock. Shit, it was just 5 o'clock was 5 o'clock the next day too. So
what states are trying to get rid of it right now?
There's a portion of Indiana, if my Jeopardy trivia is correct, there's a portion of Indiana that does not celebrate or does not do daylight savings, and Arizona. And there might be a couple of municipalities scattered ramshot around the country that don't do it. But I think it's just a chunk of Indiana and the state of Arizona are the main locales where daylight savings is not observed.
Yeah,
Joe, can you fact check me on that? I want to say I think it's Indiana, but it's the entire state of Arizona. And then like, a chunk of Indiana, some weird shit. Like I don't.
Yeah, and I remember sometime in just a couple months ago, there was a state. I think it was like Georgia or something.
Yeah, for daylight savings. There's a state that.
I believe just a couple months ago was fighting to get rid of it. I think it was Georgia. I believe. It's very interesting to me because like time is. You know, they say that like the rotation of the Earth, like we're off by like that we're off by like 13 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So well, that's why we observe a leap year every 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's exactly why we observe a leap year too. Because there's an extra. You know, the actual year is the actual. No, it does not. No, Joe, it does not. No, it does not. Arizona does not observe daylight savings.
That's
the actual solar year is 365.25 days or some shit, or 0.26 days. So that's why we observe a leap day, you know.
Oh, you say the Navajo Nation does. Well, that's a whole different conversation.
That's a sovereign nation, though. That's not the state of Arizona.
And what's also, oh man, I just fucking lost the thought. Well, there goes my lost thought of the day, guys.
Currently, two states, Arizona and Hawaii, and the U.S. territories of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, America, Samoa, and Guam don't observe daylight savings time. So there you go.
Most Arizona does not use DST. The only exception is the Navajo Nation, where clocks spring forward 1 hour together with the rest of the United States on the second Sunday in March and fall back again on the first Sunday in November. Right. Okay, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It was 10 o'clock last night when the UFC main card started.
Okay.
And it ended right before it turned 1 o'clock for the second time.
Oh, that's well, because it did, and it did that like naturally with your cell phone, right? Like it just did it automatically, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but it was very interesting. But
that's hilarious. Yeah, there's okay. So that's where it was. Sorry.
Yeah. So
it's on 10. There's 10 counties in Indiana that do not observe daylight savings time. That's what I remember reading. But I just looked it up, and there's 10 counties, and there's places in several other states. But yeah, so
very.
So tell me about what were your thoughts on the main card last night? Because we started talking about it. We didn't really do any, texting much back and forth during the actual fights. But
how could we? How could we? There was no time.
You had a potential fight of the year contender with the very first fight on the card, on the main card.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still, and that I'm telling you, it's still a fight. It's definitely fight of the year contention. I mean, look at easily. What the fuck happened.
It was first off, 15 minutes of just nonstop throwdown. Just 15 fucking minutes.
Yeah, first off, how fucking humble was it for Chandler and Gaethje to take the first fight of the pay-per-view? Because they were saying this during the press conference that they wanted to take this fight. They wanted to kick the show off.
Absolutely. You know? Either be first or be last, because everybody in the middle are always the ones that get forgotten. I mean, that's like, tell me that ain't true. Tell me that ain't true.
Be first or be last. But it's very true. And they started to show up. And let me tell you, from the first second all the way to the end, incredible.
Oh, God.
First off, we knew this was going to be a hell of a fight. And they,
absolutely.
Well, Gaethje beat the shit out of Chandler's face.
He did,
beat the shit out of it.
To his credit, Chandler just kept coming. He just kept coming.
Listen, I think there was a point when Chandler knew he wasn't going to win this fight, and he was just like, you know what? It's time to just give him a show now. Let's just give him a show at this point. And that, you know, hey, wow,
yeah,
wow, absolutely. You know,
absolutely. It was, dude. They did like and much respect. I believe both of those fighters were transported to the hospital afterwards, and neither one of them were able to do the post show media scrum, basically. So they went hard in the paint. They went hard in the paint. Like they're both fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so we also had Cheetah Vera. He would who did he fight again? Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, and that's man, like great. Great fighter. We're going to talk about this in a little bit too, also with part of the co-main event. I don't know how well I'm liking some of the theatrics that are becoming more prevalent in the UFC. So Vera, very good fighter. He's on the come up. I forget what country is it. Venezuela? Is he Venezuelan?
I think the flag's
like blue, red, and yellow. I want to say
and they got mountains on them too. I'll tell you right Venezuela, now. Oh, he's getting it right now. Yeah.
Point being, I would love to love a guy like that, but then he does all that stuff, and a lot of the crowd doesn't like him, and he's got that flamboyant kind of like. Same with a guy like Colby Covington, right? Where it's just like, I would love to be a big fan of Colby Covington, especially considering his skill set, because he's obviously a very skilled fighter. But the dude comes, you know, like he puts on that WWE character, you know. All right, what country is that?
No, that's Venezuela. He's from Ecuador. The flag of Ecuador, I believe, are the same colors.
Okay,
but they have mountains in the
interesting
in the center of
it. Okay. But yeah, so I just don't. Vera is obviously a good fighter, and that's it. That's the one. There it is.
Oh, we have a comment here. My brother used to live in Frankie Edgar's house in New Jersey.
Oh, dude, that's Jeremy Martin, man. That's me and him served in the same battalion together.
What's up, man?
We were in 2nd Brigade. We were in 2nd Brigade together at Fort Carson. That's by the way, Jeremy Martin is really good. Agent for Northwestern Mutual, and so if there's any veterans out there that need anything or have any financial questions, my brother Jeremy Martin, he's got your back. Okay, he's got your back.
We're gonna have to get him on the show and talk about
this. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure he's probably has a couple. Probably has a couple of Sergeant Campbell stories. You know, he can embarrass me with, maybe.
You know, there is always a Sergeant Campbell story.
I'm telling you, dude. Ronnie's probably got a couple left for us too. You know.
I told you we're gonna have a whole spinoff for that.
Oh shit! My buddy Steve from my VFW right there.
Oh shit! And then we got Bridwell. Oh dude, hey, we got the Jay Campbell Brigade up in here today. Holy shit!
I'm telling you, man.
So next fight, we had Zhang Wei Li versus Rose
Namajunas. I want to hear. Okay, do you want to hear from me, or do you want me to, or do you want to let me hear from you?
Because I got a question for you. I actually had Zhang winning.
Did you really?
I actually had Zhang winning because I felt that there was a little bit of misconfidence from Namajunas during the press conference, and I, you know, maybe I mistook that for confidence and humbleness. But right. There was just something that was different about Namajunas during this fight. As you can see, if you observe her during her entrance, she is mouthing, "I'm the best," all the way up until the bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. She is mouthing, "I'm the best. I'm the best." Now, affirmations are a very powerful thing.
They are.
Very
absolutely. Powerful thing. I had a buddy when I was in high school. I was a year older than him, but he was, you know, our crew ran around together basically. And he gave me, he's like, "You know what you should do is type out, you know, print out on your computer stuff that, you know, motivational sayings basically, and put them around your room." And I ended up doing it. And cause me and him were on the wrestling team together, and it's waking up and seeing, you know, 100% always, you know, like, "Yes, you can," you know, when you drill these thoughts into your head, like, "I am good enough. Like, I am going to make it, you know, yesterday was just a freaking speed bump. I'm still climbing the mountain today." You know, like it's a little chunk at a time, and you're basically training your mind to think in that positive manner and not get down and not fall into that negative, you know, mentality bullshit basically. And if you want to compete on a level like the championship levels of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, like Rose Namajunas and Zhang Li and all of them, really, you need to have that kind of like positive affirmation playing constantly in your head. Because the minute you have that moment of self-doubt, that moment of, am I not good, whatever, and boom, you're knocked out. Or boom, you didn't lift as well that day. Or boom, you know, you didn't get as good a score on your PT test that you thought you were going to, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. Like, a lot of times you have to, like, when that voice of doubt starts creeping in, you just shove it the fuck back off and say, "No, dude, not today. I'm not fucking doing that shit today."
And look what happened.
She won. I'm of the opinion she won that fight. I had her.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I had her 3-2. I also wanted to bring up, cause we've talked about it on this podcast before, I think there's a huge case to be made for 10-8 rounds using this card.
Yes.
Because you had Rose Namajunas, round 5, where she basically took down Zhang and kept her there the entire round. To me, that's a 10-8. And then you had round 2 of Usman Covington and Colby getting knocked on his ass, not once, but fucking twice. He survived the round, to his credit, survived the fucking round. But why was that not a 10-8 round? Somebody explain to me why Rose Namajunas, you know, staying busy and keeping Zhang controlled pretty much the entire fifth round of their fight, and why a 2 knockdown round in the main event are not 10-8 rounds on a judge's scorecard. I think the case needs to be made for because both fights ended up being close. Both fights were basically 3-2. I don't know what judge gave Rose Namajunas fucking 4 rounds, but that dude was high as fuck. Because she didn't win 4 rounds. She won 3.
It goes to show, I think, and this has been a big case, I think we need former fighters judging these fights.
I don't disagree with that, but there's no money in it. That's the problem.
That's true.
The athletic commissions dictate who scores fights, I believe. You might be able to fact check me on that, but there's backdoor deals that go on with
Oh, this has been happening since boxing.
That's how boxing became so fucked up and like destroyed in half over, you know, in like the 90s and early 2000s.
And Canelo fought last night too.
He knocked that dude out. 11th round knockout. It's an 11th round knockout.
All right, so now we're getting into the bread and butter. We're getting into I think he's pulling something up right now, which we're about to get some information on the sports commission. UFC fights are scored based on a 10-point must system. Three right. judges score each round separately, giving 10 points to the winner of the round and 9 or less, 8 or very rarely 7, based on how dominant one fighter was in particular round.
And here's the problem with that is the 10-point must system is not a bad system, but they don't use 10-8 rounds enough. That's the problem. It's like Colby Covington got knocked on his ass, like barely survived the round two. He still got 9 points for that round.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because
Zhang Li got held down, like basically got held down and controlled and dominated for not quite five minutes, you know, in the fifth round of their fight, she got 9 points. So if you had and by the way, it was a split decision. There was a judge on that card that gave Zhang the decision. So basically, like, Zhang at the very end of the fight, last 5 minutes of the fight, gets fucking dominated. There was at least one judge that thought she won that fight. But if you had a 10-8 round, if you scored that a 10-8, that would for that specific judge, that would have created a draw.
That's very interesting.
You're talking about changed outcomes of fights, especially in five round fights, championship fights. Like, the entire outcomes can change if you start utilizing a 10-8. Like, because when you give a fighter 9 points and they barely fucking survive the round, what the fuck is the point of even being able to have 8 or 7 points on the fucking, because they never get used. Like, what, how bad do you have to beat somebody's ass for 5 minutes before you score a 10-8? You know what I'm saying? Like what criteria, you know? Like,
yeah. A 10-8 round is given when one of the fighters had dominated the round, meaning he delivered significant blows, used grappling efficiently, and dominated the tempo of the fight.
So by the fight commission's own definition, round five of Nama Yunus and Zhang Li, and is it Zhang Li or Zhang Wei?
So there's I've heard Zhang Weili. I've heard Zhang Weili.
Weili. I'm sorry. I've been saying it wrong the whole time.
I've heard Weili. I've heard Weili. There's
right. I messed that up. I apologize for fucking her name up. But round five of Nama Yunus Weili and round two of Covington Usman, by their own definition, were both 10-8 rounds. Yes. If you want to be a fucking stickler for what the commission defines as a 10-8 round, that's it. They, like, both of those rounds met that criteria easily. Significant strikes, control, you know, like all that shit. So
So right before we get to the main event, there was a lot of tension going into the press conference. And let me tell you, there was a moment. And hey, Joe, if you can't find the clip, it's absolutely no problem.
Oh, there we go.
Justin Gaethje calls Colby Covington a bitch at the press conference. And this was probably by far, we probably won't be able to hear it, but it was so funny because, Covington was talking a lot of shit to Usman, which there was a lot of remarks where he said, oh yeah, your mother used to dress you in robes when you were a child, which is very fucking morally wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking shit about his father. He was talking shit about his kids, his family. Look, you don't fucking do that. So
it's like I said, the theatrics are getting real old. You know, it's just getting real fucking old.
So here it is. I'll start off. Gaethje says, Kamaru will finish it off. You're damn right. Trevor Whitman is a genius, and you will see that inside the octagon. I can't wait to fight in front of these fucking fans. The chaos, all of it. I fucking love it. Let's go. And Colby Covington comes back and says, you're right, Justin. Chaos is in the building. And Gaethje says back, you're a bitch. So Covington came back and started calling him, started saying that he sounded illiterate while talking. And Justin Gaethje, being the all-American boy that he is, honest too, He says to him, you're over there talking shit about people's families and shit. You're a piece of shit.
Right.
And, you know, the tension is there. So I want to see Gaethje versus Covington. I'm not wrong for wanting that.
Have they not fought against each other yet?
Not that I'm aware of. Remember, they're in two different weight classes too. So,
are they?
Isn't Gaethje lightweight? Yeah, Gaethje's in the lightweight.
Fuck, you're right. Nope, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm all fucking spun out. Like, I can't keep track of all the fighters anymore, man. Like,
so the main event happened, and we've been waiting for this rematch since 2019, since he broke his face, since Usman broke Covington's face, and there was a lot of talk about it. Let me tell you, this was the fight, man. This was everything that we wanted and more. It was, you know, it went in with tension. There was roll that clip. There was even a debate here that went on during the fight.
Oh, that's Masvidal.
Oh shit! Wrong clip. No, it's not. It's not going to be in this one. Pull it out.
He'll get it.
He'll get it.
You're talking about the takedown?
Yeah, the takedowns. Well, first off, while we're looking for that, the second round, Kobe Covington went down twice.
He went down hard twice. He went down hard twice.
Yeah.
One of my big takeaways from the main event was I think Covington could have taken that fight, but he started way too slow. He got behind on the cards, and when he started coming in and getting his rhythm, it was already round three. It was already fucking round three by the time he really started coming into his rhythm. And especially getting his block knocked off at the end of round two like that. Like, it looked like it was over for a second. Like, he started slow, and he didn't really get into his rhythm until pretty much until he got his bell rung. And then he came back out strong in round three, and then he came out strong again in round four. And it was really that round five where he started slow. He should have, I think if he had pushed the pace in round five, he might have taken that fight. Or if he hadn't started so slow in round one and two, if he had won round one or round two possibly, he might have taken that fight. But he started so slow and he ended slow.
Yeah, absolutely. I could agree with that.
I don't know why he didn't come out a lot harder in round five than he did, because it was his fight to win, really. And his strategy in round five baffled me, because he basically handed Usman the fight in round five. So
no, he definitely, yeah. I mean, he was telling him just to fucking hit him at that point, which I mean, come on, like, you know, and again, we're going back to the theatrics,
right?
You know, there can only be one Conor McGregor. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing, you know, in the beginning of the fight, Covington's cheek was already, there was a giant gash in it already.
Oh yeah.
And he kept on touching it. That was distracting him from using his defense, which if you look at a lot of times when he kicks him in the head, he blocks it, but he's pretty much making him punch himself in the face at that point, because he's already touching his cheek.
Right.
You know, so we're going to get to, so during the broadcast, Joe Rogan and DC got into a little bit of a debate if he was taken down or not. And
that was in round three.
And, you know, by camera, it looks like it was just a one knee thing, but I think we could all agree he took him down.
I would have definitely 100% scored that a takedown. Like, that's DC. I've been watching UFC for a long time, and so depending on the broadcast, depending on my mood, there are times where I'm not a huge fan of Joe Rogan commentating, and there's other times where I'm a huge fan of him. And it's the same with DC. DC, though, is a former, you know, collegiate NCAA runner-up, you know, national champion, basically, like, you know, like, and he's like an Olympic wrestler and all this other stuff. The dude's pedigree in wrestling is, you know, second to none, just about. And if DC says that's a takedown, like, I'm going with DC on this. Like, I wrestled in high school, you know what I mean? I'm definitely not to the fucking level of these guys in the UFC, but good God, man, like, I wrestled You know, like if DC says that shit's a takedown, that's a fucking takedown, dude. Like, don't.
I mean, that's a fucking. That's a fucking takedown to me, bro. Like
that, it looked like I don't even know how the question came up. Honestly, I really, really didn't even know how the question came up. So that was, you know, that was it was just like it was one of those things that just comes up during the broadcast, and they start kind of like us. They'll go down a rabbit trail a little bit, and next thing you know, like 30 seconds of the fight's gone by, and they're still talking about something that happened freaking, you know, half a round ago. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. But great card, great fight. It was really at MSG, so you already know when you're coming to New York, there's going to be chaos, and it was a great event. So
absolutely,
so fantastic. So next in the news, we got the Boba Fett trailer released this week.
Okay,
we're all getting ready for he got some footage ready here. We're all getting ready for The Mandalorian. We're all getting ready for The Mandalorian Season 3, but it's not ready yet. So we're going to get the Book of Boba Fett. It looks, first off, you know, as you see it here visually, it looks fucking great. We have Temuera Morrison reprising the role at, yes, they were, baby. Yes, they were. They were Litty Titty. So it visually looks good. We got Fennec Shan back. Mm-hmm. This is Jabba the Hutt's crew that he's pretty much
hanging
with, trying to recruit, trying to keep them together. It looks great. I'm ready to dive back into the Star Wars world with this, man. It's going to be streaming exclusively.
I am really Disney Plus with all the Star Wars fandom and everything, and some of the, you know, when after Disney purchased Star Wars and they kind of just took a giant shit and a lot of stuff that had been considered canon for a lot of years, you know what I mean? I'm curious if they're going to start digging back and bringing back some of the stuff that was considered canon and then now making it canon within the Disney Star Wars universe. You know what I mean? Like, cause there's plenty of stories, there's books about Boba Fett out there. You know what I mean? And I'm sure some of them have some really cool things to see. You know what I mean? You know, hey, what's up, Nichelle? That's what's up, man. We got a party in here today. That's what's up, dude. That's what's up. Hope everything's been well. But yeah, freaking. I don't know. So I don't know. I just remember there being like libraries of Star Wars books back in the day, and for a lot of them, they were considered canon. You know what I mean? And a lot of them are not considered canon anymore, not even anywhere close. And Disney now kind of has license to recreate the Star Wars universe kind of as they see fit, you know, whatever they think is going to make the mouse money. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts? Are you like, what are you looking forward to in this one?
I'm looking for an expanded story. I'm looking for, Return of the Jedi vibes, which I'm definitely feeling here. I'm definitely expecting some, as always, you know, I'm an Easter egg guy. Right. I'm looking for some Easter eggs in there. I'm expecting to see some surprise characters. I'm expected to see some good stuff here. So
fuck yeah, Nichelle. Keep that shit up, man. Keep your head up, homie. We got you, man. We got you. We're gonna be playing again soon. Don't worry.
Yeah, so I'm ready for it. I'm giving the trailer. I'm not even gonna give it a rating. You know, we're gonna hold on the rating for that. Just say pizza.
How do you rate a trailer? I mean, is it just, are you just rating the trailer? Are you trying to rate the show you haven't seen yet? You know, I mean, it's all good.
So I'm very happy that Temuera Morrison's coming back. I hope that it kind of dives more into the Mandalorian lore.
Because that was a major plot point of towards the end of season two. That was a major plot point of how Jango / Boba / everybody, were they actual Mandalorians or were they
exactly
like, what were they? You know what I mean? They had the armor, but were they actually Mandalorians? You know what I mean? Like,
yep. So next we have Dune.
Yeah, Dune. Fuck yeah, dude.
Now, Dune, okay. So if you guys know some of the history behind this, from what I've learned, George Lucas was heavily influenced by Dune. Which, you know, which we ended up getting Star Wars, but this is just a whole different flavor. This is a, you know, this shit got some seasoning in it that that Star Wars doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, I for someone who's never read the books, and you know, I'm into lore and I'm into heavy lore and stuff like that. And you know, the acting was great. Even like some of the actors that were not very like, you know, not crazy about. Like I'm not really crazy about Dave Bautista, but he did a really good job.
I was gonna say I didn't have any complaints about. You know, it was like it was kind of funny seeing Bautista in there. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of really good actors in this. In this movie, you know what I mean? Like very recognizable people, you know, and they kind of come in and out of some of the story as the storyline progresses, you know what I mean? And it's yep.
I want more Duncan Idaho.
Dude, I was fantastically impressed with this movie, totally sucked in. They clearly did it some justice, you know what I mean? Like in 2021. Very much looking forward to the second part, the I guess the finish of this particular of Dune, yeah. Basically. Very much looking forward to the second part. You know?
I was at the edge of my seat. It was very different, man. And what really intrigued me so much about it that it didn't depend on the action. This movie depended on its actors.
Oh yes.
The script, the story, yep. That and
the
you know
story, yeah, the storyline especially because it You're coming in blind to a completely different universe. It's the year is 10,191. You know what I mean? There's like you're coming into this whole like a different universe, and they have to like bring you up to speed. But they do it very, very well. And they draw it out. They don't give you this long block at the very beginning of the movie and try to explain fucking everything. They throw you right yeah. into it, and they kind of explain shit as it's going along when it needs to come in. You know, and it's like they did a fantastic job. And I'll tell you what it reminded me of. You ever heard of like Warhammer 40K?
You know, of like, course. That's Henry Cavill's favorite game right now.
Dude, the way they made Dune, it reminded me of like, it's Warhammer 40K, except yeah. It's like the year 10,000. It's like 30,000. Yeah. It's like 30,000 years before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There we go. Yep. Warhammer.
This shit is like, Dune is like fucking Warhammer 30,000 years before, it, you know, Warhammer happens, right? Like it's badass, dude. Like they really suck you into like that universe and some of the lore. So good. It was pretty fucking amazing. It was pretty fucking amazing.
So my official rating for Dune is 9.9. And the reason why it didn't get a perfect 10 is because it could have went 45 minutes longer. So that's my take.
Well, it's going to. I mean, they're going to have a part 2, so it's going to. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
But will it you know, will it hold up to it? You know, but we'll see.
We're doing good so far.
Yep. We have Why the Last Man. Woo-wee!
Oh, here we fucking go with this show again. Did this fucking cocksucker get laid yet, or what?
All right. So
the last motherfucker on Earth, surrounded by women, and this dude doesn't get laid. Dis-a-fucking-pointed. Period. So, No. You tell me, did he get laid or not?
Yorick Brown has finally gotten laid.
Oh, thank the heavens and the Lord above. Somebody finally got it wet. Good.
It finally happened. And let me tell you,
how many episodes in?
It took 10 episodes for it to happen. And yes, unfortunately, and I'm going to get to that in a second. Why the Last Man did get canceled, Doc.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Probably you know, because of the last motherfucker on Earth surrounded by women and he don't get laid. Yeah,
so here,
I would cancel him too.
The reason why the movie, the show got shut down was because it's too expensive. You have Diane Lane, who's probably taking the whole chunk of the
who's that?
Of the paycheck. Diane Lane is who the fuck is Diane Lane?
Thank you.
Listen. So Diane Lane is probably one of the more. She's probably the only famous the only more famous person who's in the show. Yeah, we're about to pull it up. So this lady right here is Diane Lane.
Okay, and she's the reason it's getting canceled.
She can you look up what movie she was in? So Diane Lane is probably taking half of the chunk because the rest of the actors are, you know, a bunch of like BC celebrities, I guess. Also, the monkey that is in the show cost a lot of money to make too. So
to make? It's not a real monkey.
Yeah, it's not a real monkey.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very expensive show, which I'm very upset that it's not coming back. But there are talks that Netflix is looking to bring it back for a season two. The show is great. We dealt a post-apocalyptic. We have dealt with the death of a president, inclusiveness with trans characters, which is probably one of the more deeper, interesting aspect of the show because it's real life. It's right. Real life. This is exactly these are you know, they're a type of people that we are going specific groups of people that we're going to see. Yeah, bring that up.
I got to send a shout out real quick to my lady. I'm having pigs in a blanket for the first time in like a long time, and this is going to be delicious. So thank you, baby. Also, this looks like my dick.
Dude.
All right, so back to Diane Lane.
Yeah, so Diane Lane. So from what I've been reading, Diane Lane is pretty much taking the chunk of the paychecks, and she's a well-known actress who's not a bad actress at all. She's really good, but it's just she's too fucking expensive.
DD214 does not condone Jay's dick size being mentioned, and we apologize. No, we don't. Like,
Why the Last Man? Please, the show ended so strong. Netflix, bring it back. We're waiting. Okay, so
All joking aside, though. So
yeah,
I know you. Obviously, you like the show because you watched it all the way through the season. Obviously,
the comic is really good too.
And I was going to say, it's based off a comic. They did a lot of justice, obviously.
They did a lot of justice. I'm very impressed with it. They did such a good job. And it's actually funny because this show was in production hell years ago. Yes, Doc, it is on Hulu, but Netflix is currently rumored. It's just a rumor. It's just a rumor that Netflix is currently in talks to buy. And these are some of the screenshots from the show. That's Yurik Brown. A fantastic cast. For me, it's an 8.4. You know, okay. Why the Last Man definitely deserves an 8.4. It's got a good story. It's very inclusive. It's very honest. There's a lot of shit talking between three political parties. And yeah. And Shia LaBeouf was originally tied onto this show to play Yurik Brown. So, I mean, you know, to see from that development to where it is now, I'm very happy with the show. So, come on, Netflix, bring it back.
You're standing on a corner in the middle of the night. You see a man across the street. Shia LaBeouf? He's walking towards you now, very slowly, with a weird look in his eye. Shia LaBeouf? You never saw the Shia LaBeouf? No? No? Nothing? No? It's a meme and everything. Like, okay. Roger that.
I'll go.
Okay.
Just do it.
Yeah. That's another Shia LaBeouf meme. Yeah. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
I'm going to shout out my boy here, Skrilla, the great professional wrestler, who is in the movie The Peanut Butter Falcon with Shia LaBeouf. He actually had a moment with him because during the time, Shia LaBeouf had gotten arrested for disorderly conduct and something like that. I don't remember. And a lot of racist slurs were made. And
Jesus,
Skrilla the Great. He is, you know, Skrilla the Great. He really is the great because he didn't even know me. He was willing to train me in professional wrestling when I was still living down in Georgia. Mm-hmm. He actually had the opportunity to work with Jake the Snake and Mick Foley and Shia LaBeouf on this movie. And he had a really cool personal moment. There he is. Just do it. He had a really cool moment with Shia LaBeouf and was able to see like a true honest form of Shia. And, you know, ever since then, Shia LaBeouf has been able to kind of bring himself back. But, you know, Listen,
everything I've ever heard about him is he's what you would call like an extreme form method actor.
Yeah.
So if he is in character for a movie, so to speak, excuse me, I have food in my mouth. If he is in character for a movie, you're going to get that guy. You're going to get that guy on the set. You're going to get that guy in the bar after shooting stops for the day. You're going to get that guy first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Hey, I have to agree with Jonathan Davila here. Hey, shout out Union City, homie. Shia LaBeouf is still a strong actor, regardless of the drama. I have to agree.
Agreed 100%. I mean, it's it.
Hey, if Fury. Fury.
He's been in all kinds of. He is so strong in that method acting. Like, he basically just we saw a tax collector. Oh yeah. Creeper, man. That's what I'm talking about. He basically becomes these characters. You know, I've seen TMZ footage of him like acting like an ass at Mount Rushmore and stuff in public, and it's just like he was probably just getting ready for a movie. You know what I mean? Like that's Shia LaBeouf. You know, he's drunk and being belligerent at Mount Rushmore. Like that's Shia LaBeouf.
I would love to see him as the Silver Surfer.
Ooh,
character. Can I throw a?
You're gonna have to now.
Hey,
Ronnie J.
Ronnie J. So here's a funny story about me and Jonathan Davila. Me and him were in the Marine JROTC in high school together. And what's absolutely funny about this is that we had to make a video. Yeah, look at him. Look at him. He's sweating. He's fucking sweating. Look at him. Because he knows what story I'm about to say. So me and him and another one of my boys, who coincidentally was named like Jonathan. I think his name was Jonathan too, to be honest. So there was like three Johns. Hey, look, three assholes. So we had to make a video about what makes character counts. We made the video of us smoking weed, and we're just like, yeah, this is what character counts. I don't think that video ever made it to the school, but that's says hilarious. It right here. So much funny shit from those days. Dude, we got in a lot of trouble. I still want to know where the fuck my bike is, asshole.
He still blames you. He still blames you, Jonathan. He still blames
you. Next, we got Army of Thieves.
Okay.
This is the prequel to Army of the Dead, which was made by Zack Snyder, which is the story of zombies in Las Vegas. Army of Thieves is a prequel story about the character Dieter, who is the safecracker in Army of the Dead, who's possibly the comic relief of the movie. Let me tell you, he...
Oh, wait a minute. Was Army of the Dead, was that the one with Batista?
Yes.
I did see that. I did watch that.
So the blonde German guy, oh, shit, he says, I totally got robbed. I knew it, bro. We lived in that neighborhood, bro. We lived in that neighborhood. We lived in a bad neighborhood, man.
Amen. Hey, man, sometimes you just fucking walk home without shoes, man. Like,
yeah, hey. So the character of Dieter, this is the story. This isn't a zombie movie, but they play with the idea like, hey, this is happening in the United States. Mm-hmm. But this takes place in Germany. And I don't know what the fuck it is about all these German and foreign movies around, but they're fucking great. Let me tell you, Squid Game, Dark, Alice in Borderland. I don't even know when to stop.
Well, Squid Game was Korean, to be fair. Squid Game
still
is Korean.
Still foreign.
Yes, foreign. Yeah.
Actually, here's some footage here from Army of Thieves. A beautiful, a fantastic story of a world. More Doc Shop. Oh, Jonathan Davila, check it out. If you haven't seen it, Army of the Dead was epic. It really was. So Army of Thieves easily gets 8.9 in my book. I think it could have went at least a couple minutes longer, but the story, the story just drives you in because it's not about the zombie apocalypse. It's about a man trying to find his way. In some terms, it is a love story. It's a love story for men.
A love story for men.
Yeah, very powerful. So you know how like romantic flicks, romance novels, they're very like, you know, campy. Oh, there's flowers. Right. Oh, here's some chocolate, you know. So okay. To me, a love story for men would be like
fucking Slayer. Slayer, a fucking bottle of whiskey. Like
Prince of what the fuck is this?
A fucking Harley Davidson, you know, like yeah, that's is that it? I mean, I'm starting to get aroused. I mean, is that
okay?
Is that
so, you know how like The Departed. You know how like Matt Damon was in love with the girl he got pregnant.
Yes.
So like it, to me, that's like a Die Hard. Die Hard is a love story for men. Yes.
Okay. Skinamax. Fuck yeah, on the Skinamax, dude.
Yeah.
Totally down with Skinamax.
Yeah. And Jonathan Davila says, so there are no zombies in this. No, there are no zombies in it. There are no zombies in it, but they do exist. They do exist in this world. It's happening already. It is happening.
So is this a prequel to Army of the Dead or a sequel?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is a prequel.
Okay.
Very, so very good.
Okay.
Very,
got you.
Very good.
Got you.
All right. Okay. Now on to the game news.
Game news. Here we go.
All right. So the first thing we got here, Battlefield 2042 is coming to the Game Pass, but only through a trial. Only through a trial.
What's the trial? Like, what do you mean? How long do you get it for? Or like what do you mean?
So usually when they're going through the Game Pass, it's probably going to be through the EA Play. So you know how EA Play and Game Pass are connected together.
Yes.
Most of Battlefield's game, as far as Battlefield 5, 4, Hardline, and Battlefield 1, whatever
World War 1.
Yeah, whatever that one was. It's all in the EA Play, right, which is connected with Game Pass. So it's probably going to be a 10-hour trial, which gives you 10 hours of time to play Battlefield 2042.
I'll take 10 hours to see if I actually want to buy the fucking game or not. I think that's worth it. I think that's totally fucking worth it.
I think this is a great way. Once again, Game Pass coming through for the people, giving us an opportunity, like back in the day, to rent these games.
Absolutely.
To see if we enjoy it.
That's right.
This is a big thing. And look at this clip right here. This is pretty cool.
I like that free fall shit. Oh, that sucks. You just got hit by a fucking plane crashing.
Yeah. So the game looks amazing. I'm absolutely ready for it. I'm excited for it. There's no campaign. It's going to be like a massive multiplayer game. Michael K. Williams, who just passed away recently, is in the game. He is a major focal character point in the game, and I'm very excited to see him one more time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and we discussed that the week he passed, we talked about it for a couple minutes here on the podcast. And yeah, it is always cool to see people's work posthumously. You know what I mean? Like, because that is something that they left us here on Earth with. When they shed their earthly skin, you know, and went to the stars, you know, went to go back to be with the stars. So I think it's always nice to see stuff that people were able to complete while they were here with us and be able to enjoy it after they are gone. I actually had kind of a similar experience. You know, my parents came over to the house this weekend to visit while we're here in Kansas City for the weekend. And you know, my mom was talking about some of the stuff that they have at their house that I might need to bring over here. And some of the stuff is my grandpa used to be like a carpenter. My grandpa was like a master carpenter. Like one year for, it was 1990. He made me a baseball bat. Literally made a baseball bat. Like, and I got this baseball bat for Christmas in 1990. It's a wooden baseball bat. He found the wood. He procured the wood. He took a lathe to it, you know, and like made a fucking baseball bat for me. Like literally,
that's what it is, man. Well,
and now that he's gone, my family has a lot of this stuff that he's made over the years. You know, cabinets, dressers, end tables. The man was a carpenter. He could build and pick something out of wood, and he can fucking make it. Right, he was that guy. And so, and I was telling my, and my mom was like, "Well, we're gonna have to get rid of some of it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, but God damn it." You know what I mean? Cause that's all we have. You know what I mean? Like that's part of his legacy basically.
Yeah. I actually have to agree too. I'm not over Chadwick Boseman's passing either. You know, and apparently Hollywood hasn't either, because if you watch this new, there's a new cowboy movie that's on Netflix right now. And if you look closely, one of the trains, has C.A. Bozeman on the train.
Nice.
That's so, Hollywood hasn't forgotten.
That's a beautiful little Easter egg. That's a beautiful little Easter egg.
I can't remember the movie. It's with Regina King.
I literally just saw the it just popped up on our gosh darn thing on Nikki's TV here this morning for me. It's like an all mostly black cast, and it's a Wild West setting movie. Is that the one you're talking about? It's kind of newer.
Yes. Yeah, he got it right here. The Harder They Fall.
Yep, that's the one. It was The Harder They Fall. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this film right here, moment. Idris Elba, Jonathan Majors, who is Kang in the MCU.
There you go.
Regina King. So I mean, this movie actually looks really good.
Oh, dude, I dig Westerns, man. I wish they would make, they haven't made Westerns in a while. Like, I'm actually, me and Nikki are getting ready to start Yellowstone probably tonight. Yes, Doc, I said, guy. Okay, Doc, first off, I appreciate your attention to detail on that, but I'm gonna have to hit the pause and the break button. Jonathan can tell you the last 2 years of my Army career, I was a instructor at the NCO. Okay, I was a BLC instructor, right? Okay, so I had to watch my mouth, and so now it's become part of my vernacular to say "gosh darn" instead of "god damn" all the time, you know. Or I have to, like, basically like my it's like a brake pedal for my brain where I have to, like. And it became part of my vernacular. So yes, I did say "gosh darn." Thank you, Doc. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, we also got here. Oh,
this Hell on Wheels, absolutely.
This is actually from our executive producer,
Joe. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my fucking god! Well, holy gee whiz, there's nothing wrong with that, man. We're having a party today.
Do fucking push-ups, Doc. Just because you're Doc and the infantry loves you doesn't mean you're fucking immune. Just fucking do push-ups.
Jolly gee whiz,
guys.
I love it.
Hey, Doc, can you make me any fucking whiter, please? Like, well, gee willikers, we got a long drive today.
What? So what else we got here? Oh, we have Jen O'Neill resigned from Activision Blizzard. This is such a huge story, guys. And let me tell you why. We covered just a couple weeks ago. Well, first off, she left for a all-women in-game development nonprofit. No one is mad about this because she was making bigger moves for herself. Right. She joined leadership with Mikey Barra. Which was such a big thing. He says, I wasn't even going to say gee willikers.
Yeah, well, I did for you. You're welcome.
So this is such a big thing. Can you pull back up that article, Joe? She announced today that she was stepping down from her role as Blizzard. Mikey Barra will then become the sole leader of Blizzard. He and O'Neill stepped in after J. Allen Brock's departure as Blizzard president, which happened after the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing sued Activision Blizzard for sex discrimination in the workplace.
So, did she or did she not resign because of this fiasco, or is she like what is your take on this, dude?
So I think that she came in.
Hey, Doc, I didn't go to sick call. Ain't no fucking sick call rangers here, bro. I can count on one hand in fucking 12 years how many times I went to sick call. Nice try, though.
I have gone to sick call too many times.
One hand, literally. One hand.
So there was a lot. I mean, we covered this. There was a lot of bullshit happening in Activision Blizzard, frat boy mentalities, which seems to be the subject for a lot of these companies now, because they just don't seem to get the point that
it became like Mad Men. You remember Mad Men, right? The fucking TV show, Don Draper, you know, the overly misogynistic 1950s fucking whatever.
Yeah.
That mentality in business crept all the way up into like the 2000s. People forget that, like, that mentality was, it's a show, and they kind of play it for fucking dark humor in that show a lot in Mad Men. But that mentality was a real fucking thing in American business for like 50 fucking years.
Yeah.
Like literally 50 fucking years. We're talking half a century. You pretty much, if you were in the top levels of your company, if you were an executive or whatever, you pretty much just did whatever the fuck you wanted. And nobody was going to say shit. It wasn't until like the parts of the 80s going into the 90s, and then especially in the 2000s, people really started pushing back against this toxic ass bullshit, you know.
And look, it was reported everywhere. It was reported everywhere. You know, and it seems like that they were more concerned about their frat boy mentality than actually working on the games that are getting hacked on a constant basis.
Correct. Correct.
You know,
that's exactly right.
You know, there was a bunch of Jeffrey Epstein and friends. Yeah, I mean, it's you know,
who totally killed himself a couple of years ago, right? Totally killed himself, right? That guy.
Next on the DD214 deep dive. So this is insane that shit like this is even still happening. Especially for a company this big. So I mean, so
and now they've just lost another high level executive basically to a resignation.
So she actually, what did she say here? She said, "I'm not doing this because I am without hope for Blizzard. Quite the opposite. I'm inspired by the passion of everyone here." Oh shit, I lost my place. Working towards meaningful, lasting changes with their whole hearts. So she is not there she's not leaving out of maliciousness or because of hopelessness. She is just, you know, she has bigger and better things coming her way and she's out of here.
Right. Right. Joe, I just want to let you know that I stole your comment from our private chat and I just put it in under my girlfriend's name. So Nikki, you just made a comment. Drywall Chris and Jeffrey Epstein. Name three things that don't hang themselves.
Oh man, I love that. So yeah, I mean, Senator Kennedy. Oh my God. Is it bad news for Blizzard or is this good
news? I don't even know what constitutes good news anymore in 2021. Like, I mean, like the sky isn't falling, like the world isn't on fire anymore. Like, I don't know, like what is good news? I take all my good news at like a very personal level these days because it's just like, you know what, dude? Like,
oh Jesus Christ, here we go.
Trump killed it. Oh, probably. I mean, along with Clinton. Okay, that's probably a conspiracy theory they were like together on. You know what I mean? Like,
on the next DD214 deep dive episode 66.
We're going to get to the bottom of this, or they're going to find me at the bottom of a lake, one or the other. You know what I mean? Like,
so I have, before we get into our veteran and military news, I have one last review here for you guys. Okay. Joe, if you could pull up the footage for a game called Unpacking, please get that for me.
There we go.
I started playing this game called Unpacking.
Okay.
It's exactly what it is. You're unpacking a house and you're decorating.
It's a fucking video game?
It's a video game. Yeah, look at this footage. Hit that full screen. Yeah. So the game starts.
You better sell the shit out of this.
Listen, I don't know how I'm going to sell this right now, but I'm about to sell it. Okay? The game starts off. You start off as a child, as a female child, and you're decorating. What the fuck was that?
You're decorating a house. You're going through life just decorating.
Yeah, so you're going through your life. You're moving into different places. Moving. Oh, I haven't gotten to this level. Oh yeah, I haven't gotten to this level yet. But that's good for me to see. Yeah. Oh my God. So anyway,
trying so hard not to be a dick right now.
No. But this is why we do this show.
I know you're right.
Do this show.
Tell me on an honest like. Man-to-man level, like, what kind of enjoyment did you get out of this? I'm just asking because I'm fucking actually packing my house right now, and I'm gonna have to unpack it like in about 45 days here in Kansas City. So, like,
and it's interesting because Doc Shupp is actually says it right here. Unpacking is also a psychological term for a method of helping your PTSD and trauma. Wonder if there's any connection. And let me tell you, I was playing the game, and I sat there for 4 hours unpacking the houses. And there was something very therapeutic with me throwing my headphones on, listening to some ambient music, cue the music, and you know, just playing the game. Right. I was just, you know, I was unpacking the house exactly, you know, exactly the way that I wanted to, the way that it, you know, made me, the way that it made me feel. Joe says here, PC building simulator for me. Put some ambient.
That's me. There we go. You're just listening to this music. You're unpacking boxes. And then next thing you know, 3 hours went by.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, okay. Okay.
There's nothing.
What's your rating? What's your rating?
7.9.
God damn, dude. Okay. Okay. Let me collect my thoughts here. I just watched a Simpsons episode. It's not really a recent one, but it's, you know, it's on the Disney Plus or whatever, but there's a Simpsons episode where they open up this like new STEM school across the street from Springfield Elementary. And it's like all virtual reality, and it's, and all the kids are basically just being trained to do remedial tasks in the workforce when they get older, basically. And that's all I thought of when I saw the gameplay footage of that game. But from your end, you're talking, that's the actual episode. Fuck yeah.
Yep, there you go. There it is. Good job.
But what you're talking about is basically you actually kind of just got some soothing relief, basically mentally.
Yeah.
From putting stuff in places and whatever.
Yeah, and it's actually quite funny because like as I'm sitting there,
I wish real life was fucking like that.
Oh, me too. And it's so interesting to me because I literally sat there for a while playing the game, and yeah, there it is. There's the photo book. And yeah, Doc Shub says it right here.
I think he's exactly right. I think he's exactly right.
No huge challenges. It takes away from everyday stressors. Your focus is just on the simple, accomplishable task, and it can be relaxing. And it was very relaxing. I mean, look, there was even moments where Frenchie came onto the PC. She was like, "I got this," and you know, she got stuck. So I truly think it's a very therapeutic game. I love it. The reason why I gave it a 7.9 though is because there's still, you know, with this being the first of its kind type of game, can it help people learn to organize? Yeah. Yeah. Look at my desk. It's clean.
Huh. How about that? How did you make a space that was like 2 feet by 3 inches, like messy? I'm just fucking with you.
Halloween just passed, right? I ate a lot of children's candy, all right? A lot of candy.
Dude, I'm like, I think I'm going to be going on like a freaking 3-week fast just so that like once Thanksgiving hits, I can do whatever I want for a month and just acknowledge that like it's all coming back. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause yeah, once Thanksgiving hits, dude, it's over. It is freaking over until freaking after New Year's. Oh my God. Doc, I know you're in New Jersey right now and I'm kind of in Missouri and Colorado. I would love to just choke the shit out of you right now.
You want one? Or you
just
want
kidding,
one?
Man. Just kidding.
All right, so I think that's it for gaming. Yeah. So let's. Hey Joe, can you just? I got some stuff here. Now we got some military stuff. Veterans Day is coming in a few days, guys. Lots of good stuff.
Do Jello wrestling. I'm totally
Jello wrestling.
I am totally okay with Jello wrestling. That does not scare me one fucking bit. I would love to Jello wrestle.
Oh man. So as you know, my little ass did some bouncing jobs for Doc Shup, like we speak about. And dude, I remember this one guy trying to get into the club. His pants were so baggy that he had the bottle of alcohol in his pants, hanging inside his pants.
Yeah.
And I remember Doc saying, like, dude, you think, like, dude, that's not you. I know what that is. Like, take it out of your pants. And the guy's like, come on. Needless to say, this was supposed to be it was like a high school teenager's party. And this dude was like 30 something years old. And we
oh
had
my
to,
God.
Like, yeah. Oh, so we had no, to like get him out of there,
go.
You know?
You gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Doc Shup did really
hiding,
well to get, take
hiding
care
entire
of that
bottles
dude.
Of alcohol and in your pants is like so 90s anyways, dude. Like they don't make pants baggy enough anymore. Like do you remember the movie Kids? You remember the movie Kids where he tucks his pants into his shoe and he fucking puts that 40 down his pants and steals the 40 at the beginning of the movie?
How could I forget the movie that my twin is in?
You can't do that anymore with the style of jeans we wear nowadays. Like, it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't. They pants used to be baggy enough. You could, it was fucking Casper. The dude in the white shirt is the one that stole the 40 in the fucking.
Yeah.
The fucking
hey movie. Guys, do you not see a resemblance
between who, you and Casper? Oh shit, you do kind of look like that motherfucker. Hell yeah. Casper, Joe, the dopest ghost. Yeah.
Joe, look up the actor Justin Pierce on Justin Google, Pierce. And he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good actor. He took his own life. Take the third one.
Yeah, there he is.
Go back. Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, because he was in one of the Friday sequels too.
And the one next to him, there it is. That's me right there.
That does kind of look like you. And honestly, you kind of look like a New York street kid, man. I could see you being a New York street kid back in the day.
Well, you know, in 2009, before I joined the Army, me and my wife were New York street kids. Let me tell you.
There it is.
Okay, we lived on 183rd Street, right across the street from the Bronx Zoo. We lived on 110th Street, right across the street from Central Park, which was probably one of the best places we ever lived in. We lived in Brooklyn. We lived in Manhattan.
That's dope.
I'm a New York street rat. I don't need a mic. I don't need a mic.
Not surprised in the least, man. That's awesome. Yeah, dude. That is right, awesome.
So Joe, there it is, the Bronx Zoo, my old home. We would wake up every morning hearing the fucking animals scream. So hey, Joe, pull up Veterans Day discounts.
Oh yeah, I totally have like never used these, but I think this year might be the year. Well, I've literally never done that, but
okay. So before I get to the discounts, I just want to give up. Okay, so first off, veteran comedian James Mack will be performing a show at the VFW number 2648, November 13th in North Bergen, New Jersey. Cool. Tickets are $20. Check him out; he's hilarious. I would love to have you on the show, James Mack, to talk about from soldier to comedian, how that transition worked. But that, check him out if you're in the area.
Do we have do we have contact info for that guy? Because I would love to. That's he would be a great guest. I'm actually interested in comedy and spoken word and stuff like that. So that's kind of a passion of mine.
Also, I also want you guys to know Frank Doc Shub produced show, Local Legends, is coming out next week. Correct me if I'm wrong, Frank. It will, his show comes out next week with host, Pedro Muriel and Danny Ray, great host. They both, yes, that's right, Doc. He was on your show. I remember I watched it. It was really good. He interviewed him, really good stuff. And I actually might want to go to that show, to be honest with you, at the VFW. That sounds like a fun time.
We actually just checked out a different. This is what was it, the third one that we've gone to out here? I just went to a third VFW last night. I was actually super impressed with it. Like,
nice.
I was like, holy crap, dude. It's in downtown Lee's Summit, Missouri, which is like, it's a township that basically is part of Kansas City's metro area now.
Yeah.
But it's in the downtown area of Lee's Summit, Missouri. But it was amazing. Like, it's a big, giant building. Freaking, they had a kitchen, like just the whole nine. It was a big VFW hall basically, and it's like, it was really cool. Like, I'm shopping around for new VFWs now that I'm getting ready to move out here. So
Jonathan, thank you for coming by. Enjoy Hawaii, my brother.
And we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so and also please guys check out Local Legends. It comes out next week. Absolutely. I'm actually
do we have a time on that? Is there a time for it?
Doc, do we have a time for that? And where that? Because I believe that's like going to be on
date
YouTube. Time
so they can tune in, maybe even a link if possible, or what they can search to look that up.
Yeah, Doc. You know what? I'll hit you up today to see, because I have to see if I'm working that day. Yeah. But guys, check out Local Legends. They got a couple episodes already made. It's very exciting. The hosts are great. We're trying to get them on the show. We're trying to work out the schedule to get them on. So stay tuned, because this is a show that you guys don't want to miss. We want to make sure everybody always wants to hear the bad side of the veterans, but no one ever wants to hear about the accomplishments that veterans make.
100%.
So thank God for Doc Shup. More Doc Shup. That's a t-shirt. More Doc Shup.
More Doc Shup.
Yeah, it's in 6K and watch a paint to edit. We're in post production. It's in 6K and the paint to edit. I know you're paying, man. I know you're paying, but this is it, man. And you're doing a great job. I've seen some of the stuff that you've been doing, and I'm very excited. We've shared it on our social media, so you guys can check it out. But stay tuned. You know, as now we have discounts, Veterans Day discounts. What I have here written down, well, before we get to that, hang on, Joe, because I have some stuff written down here too from Doc. Veterans Day discounts, Chili's, you get a free. Oh, before I get to this, guys, bring your identification with you. They're not going to look at you and know that you're a veteran. You know, if you could actually now go to your local DMV. Let me hide my information. And you could get a veteran star on your identification.
Interesting.
Okay. This is a proof of identification. Do like Doc Shub says, do not be that guy. Show up with your identification and get your meal. So to start off, Chili's has a free meal. IHOP is 20% off. Red Robin is offering a free Red Robin Tavern double burger and steak fries.
Jesus.
Register online for that. Golden Corral is doing a thank you dinner for free.
Huh.
Denny's. So Denny's, but for Denny's, this is for active duty. So you have, it's build your own Grand Slam.
Cool. Good for them.
Yeah. What else we got here? We got here a place I've never heard of before, but I'm really interested about it. It's called Mission Barbecue. Mission Barbecue, enjoy a free sandwich from them. I serve my country, but don't have my wallet nor my DD-214, but still put food in my belly. Oh, really, Joe? Hey, Joe, can you go on the mic real quick and talk to us about...
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a local Mission Barbecue here near Harrisburg, and I got to tell you, it's one of the best. They have Ricky Bobby chicken. It's shake and bake chicken. It's the best thing in the world, but their brisket's amazing. If you get a chance, just stop by. They have like mac and cheese. They have all these different sauces, anything you could think of, and really cool old style sodas, like one off sodas that you wouldn't think you'd find anywhere else. And they're just bomb. The whole place is awesome. A little pricey at times, but like, and they cater. They cater like anywhere.
Well, shit. Well, there you go, man. You could go get yourself a free sandwich.
So, what is this, like a barbecue chain for like the East Coast? Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, it's something like that. They're fairly new over by me. It's been a few years since they popped in, but it's the only one I know of around here. But I've heard of them like in a few different places. I think they're a little one down south. Frank says there's one in South Jersey.
Holy crap. Yeah, it says they opened their doors for business on September 11, 2001, or excuse me, 2011, excuse me. And is now in nine states with 109 stores and still growing rapidly. The company has a goal of expanding its operations by adding over 200 locations by 2024. They've only been around for 10 years. That's crazy.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I like that. We also have Olive Garden is offering free entrees. Fox and Hound Bar and Grill is offering a free meal. Dollar General, 20% off of your order online or in store.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go stock up on fucking Rippets, dude. That's like the only place that still sells fucking Rippets, man. Like, if you... Go to the dollar stores for all your Rip-It needs, veterans.
Yep, okay. There you go. A free car wash from graceforvets.com. I don't know exactly how this website works, but there should be, I believe that what they do is that they link you to like a local car wash by you. I know that they're partnered with other car washes and, you know, hopefully you should be able to find a car wash for you. Publix offers 10% off groceries. Meineke is offering an oil change as well, guys. Don't forget that. We also have here,
10%. I got you on that one, Doc. I'll do a fucking Rippets mock commercial skit. Yeah.
I would love that. Oh, yeah. Staples, active duty military personnel, reservists, retired and disabled veterans, and their immediate families get 25% off. Target is offering a 10% discount. I'll be using mine. LL Bean, 10% off your whole order. Big Lots, 10% off. Bed Bath and Body Works. Get yourself some scented candles, baby. 25% off. Off Broadway Shoe Warehouse is offering 10% off your whole order. Joe, what else we got on the list? Omaha Steaks for active duty military veterans, retirees, veterans, spouses, and dependents. Get free shipping on select packages on November 11th.
Hey, don't forget, no matter what you do, make sure you change your Facebook profile picture to some picture of you while you were serving so that everybody knows. All right? Make sure you guys do that.
Everybody wants to know. In-store offers only valid at Walgreens or Joy Reed store. Home Depot has 10% off. Guys, there is no stopping the discounts.
Telling you, man. Just got to ask.
You know, and you know what? I have to say, I work. You know, you guys know I work for Target. I can't believe we're actually getting a veteran's discount, but it is what it is. Everyone has to know, guys. You want your free meal? Dude, stock up. Stock up. I'll be going to like four places that fucking day. I'm going to get me some mac and cheese, some bread, a sandwich.
It's going to be like Thanksgiving. It's going to be like Thanksgiving.
This is the veteran's Thanksgiving. And you know what? When we come into the next year, we got to have a Veterans Day event. Like,
I agree. We're actually
like a physical one.
I know we're doing so. I know we're doing something on Thursday at my VFW. I got to actually make a phone call because I missed a meeting when I was driving out here the other day. So I missed a meeting. I don't know exactly what my VFW is doing, but yeah. So we'll figure that out.
So here's my question to you, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be your first Veterans Day as a veteran. Is it 90 days or 180 days?
For what?
For veteran status.
I want to say it's 180 days of consecutive service.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I think it's 180 days of consecutive service, which pretty much basic and AIT basically covers. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. They might have changed it, or maybe I'm remembering incorrectly. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's freaking, you know, if you serve your country for 6 months straight, like, you are a veteran. How about that? So, you know, we make jokes sometimes, and I joke a lot, obviously. But if you're a veteran, don't be afraid. Like, you did some time. You know, if you're having a hankering for one of them Red Robin burgers or, you know, something, whatever, like, it's okay. It's okay to ask for the discount once in a while. You don't have to be, nobody's going to be gatekeeping your service, you know, just because you want, you know, something that somebody offered you for free anyways.
Hell yeah.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to tab out on that. You know what I mean? Like, these last almost 12 years when I've been in, I typically only used my veterans disc or my military discount for two things: hotel rooms and alcohol. But I'm probably going to be using my veteran discount for a lot more things now that I'm out. So put it that way.
This is gonna be fun for you. Your first Veterans Day as a veteran. So I'm proud of you, man. This is fun. This is fun for me. I mean, I love Veterans Day. I live the town that I live in is predominantly a military town. So they actually have pictures of our veterans on the street corners. And New Jersey is pretty well known for having that in a lot of their towns where they represent their veterans and have their pictures on the streets, which is really fucking cool.
I've noticed a lot more of it out here in the Midwest than, say, like farther out west. But
put that back up, Joe, what Doc Schultz said.
Pretty much, like, you know, a lot of your smaller towns out west are tend to be very patriotic. You know what I mean? But when you go out, the farther west you go in the bigger cities, a lot of people are just kind of very removed. You know what I mean? So it doesn't seem to get the hype, I guess, if you want to call it that. And that's, you know, it's whatever. That's just local geographics or whatever. But yeah, like Doc said, people go through the trouble of wanting to show their love for us like that. Partake in the meals, partake in the discounts, man. Like, don't be scared. You know what I mean? So it's okay. Don't feel bad about it. Nobody's gatekeeping service here, man. Like, go get a free burger. Go get a discount on your groceries. Like, go get a car wash. Like, you did your time. Like, you know, it's okay to take a little bit back sometimes on top of what you're given. So, you know.
Hell yeah. And so now, before we get to the final thought, we got a couple things real quick. Get ready for Be prepared, guys, because we're about to have some guests coming up in our way. We have a Call of Duty hacker coming on our show, guys. We're going to talk about how an anti-cheat is made, what can be done to prevent it, and then other little tidbits about hacking and what you could do to be safe at home while just, you know, people watching video cameras and stuff like that. It's going to be a really cool educational show. We have a marijuana chef coming on our show soon.
Interesting. Yeah. Like an actual, are we talking about somebody that infuses, you know, like THC into like culinary delights?
Yep.
But I'm not talking like gummies or candy. I'm talking like an actual.
No, we're talking about like chicken, rice and beans. Dope. You know, so, and he's in Hawaii actually. So that's going to be a fun conversation. We got the real estate agent coming soon. So a lot of these things. And then we also have hopefully both hosts of the Local Legends show coming for an interview soon. We got a new format coming. Season 3 is coming. We got a lot of exciting stuff coming that we've just been talking about just the last couple of days that are just going to be so exciting.
Absolutely.
Also, 100%. Are you cool with me showing the t-shirt design that's coming soon? Do you think the green one is a go?
I think you should show it and see what people think. Let the people speak, right? Yeah, Doc, I think he's wanting to get those guys on here so we can get some more information basically from him. But
I would love to have those guys on. Yeah, so Doc, it was just a brief conversation I had with Dro. I'm still trying to work out the kinks of timing. it was a very brief conversation. Still nothing final. So this is it right here. I'll show it to you guys real quick. And there it is.
Oh, there you go. I could dig that. Oh yeah.
Yes. So let me see if I can pull out the. Yep. So this is the actual design right here. It is a radio. It has our website on it it's got our website on it, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. It's also got Army Regulation for Communications 2513 on the shirt.
Nice.
You know, we got to represent. So this is the design right here. This is the design right here.
Looks good. I like it.
Oh, little Easter eggs that you guys weren't supposed to see for the next designs.
Uh-oh. Oops.
Yeah. We'll talk later, Doc. I'll contact you soon. Also, coming soon, Smokey's Pet Pantry.
What's that?
So this is a pet pantry being worked on by our executive producer here. It's actually will be coming soon. If you are looking for some pet food, pet supplies, this is a new affiliate for DD214, Smokey's Pet Pantry. Oh, we have a special guest here. What are you doing, baby? Security!
If you go to the website now and sign up your email, we will let you know when we are officially open and offer discount codes as we roll things out.
Right on. Appreciate that, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah. Next, we have Blaze 8 Online for all your Delta 8 needs. Check out Blaze 8 Online, New Jersey. They got a whole bunch of great stuff. Good for you. Topicals, toothpaste, creams, la di da di da. Also, for all your energy and quenching your thirst needs, use discount code DD214 gaming for 10% off your next order of Rogue Energy. It'll make you see colors. It'll give you pump for your dump. It'll have you running fucking marathons.
Hell yeah. Okay, baby. You're going to make it.
Yep, you can hear colors, bro. And of course, guys, make sure you check out the Linktree. www.linktree.com/DD214gaming. Check out this website so you can see all our links from YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Anchor. If you go on Anchor, leave a voice message, talk some shit to us. If you go on YouTube, subscribe and share, leave a comment. All that good stuff. And Jay, it's your turn this week.
I believe it is. All right. Well, I just
Shit.
Wait, what do you got? Uh-oh. What'd you do? Uh-oh.
I fucking completely forgot. Do you want to take 1 second real quick to have a good laugh about I'm so sorry.
I got nothing but time. I'm not doing shit except driving back to fucking Colorado today.
Joe, pull that up real quick. Local Marines eat ass.
Hell yeah.
The
website got hacked, didn't it?
Yeah, the United States Marine Corps website got hacked recently, and
Marines suck wieners. Daddy Navy owns my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that shit. That's fucking
funny. Yeah, so I mean,
first off, what's wrong with fucking eating ass? Huh? Hacker? Oh, is that supposed to be a bad thing? Like, what, am I supposed to be like fucking embarrassed? Like what? Yeah, that's right. I know what I'm doing in the bedroom. All right, hackers. All right. And you don't need to disparage my Marine brothers and sisters for eating ass. Okay. It's 2021, all right? We've come a long way, all right? All right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's happening, guys. I mean, is there more from this? Hacker Man, there he is. Hacker Man. Please, we need more of these hack sites. Oh, why am I still holding the Rogue Energy? We need more of these hack sites. Give us more.
Love it. I love it.
Guys, next week we're going to have a nice new format, so get ready for it. And now, Jay, now you can go on with it, man.
All right, I appreciate it. What you got, John? What were you gonna say?
You could do the final thought now.
Okay. Right on. No, it's week of Veterans Day. We are very quickly encroaching on that lovely time of year where a lot of people have a lot of enjoyment, and there's a lot of other people that kind of get inside themselves and deep inside of their own thoughts and start going to some strange and dark places. So I just want to encourage everybody in the week, not only the week ahead, but also the month to come, November and December both, to just keep your head on a swivel and pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to the people around you. You might not be struggling. Somebody around you might be. Pay attention to social cues. Pay attention to what people are posting on social media. When you are face-to-face in person with people, pay attention to some of their mannerisms. If you yourself are having a rough time or having bad thoughts or anything in that nature, please pick up the phone. Please call somebody. Lay off the alcohol as much as possible if that is a struggle for you when you are not feeling the best, because it never makes anything better. I can guarantee you that. Be good to your bodies, be good to yourselves. And don't be afraid to talk. It's okay to have conversations with people. It's okay to let people know that you're not okay. Talk to people that you trust. If you have no one, there's 800 numbers for that. You know, we got 1-800-273-TALK. It's 1-800-273-8255. Pick that phone up. Call a hotline if you need to. Don't be afraid. All right. There's nothing to ever fear in this life. Okay. As scary as it gets, there's really nothing truly to ever fear. So don't be afraid to do the right thing. There's people that love you. There's people that depend on you. There's people that absolutely 100% support you. And nobody ever wants to get a phone call the next morning that somebody has done something that they can't take back. So I encourage and implore everyone to use as much common sense as possible in the weeks to come and for the remainder of the year, because I know especially once Thanksgiving hits, it's that magical holiday time of year. And for a lot of people, it's a very hard time. It's a very rough time of year. So take care of each other. Be good human beings to each other. I have a engineer buddy of mine that when I was a mechanic, I went to Afghanistan with him, and he always, on his Facebook, he always says, be a less shit human being today. And I kind of like that. Like, try not to be a shit human being today. Be a good human being today. So yeah, take care of each other. Take care of your families, your friends. I hope and wish you guys have a wonderful week ahead. Enjoy your Veterans Day. If you're a veteran, go out there, grab some discounts, you know, get some free sandwiches. Do something, man. Celebrate your service. you know, because your country is celebrating your service on that day, and you deserve it. You are worthy. All right. You are winners. Believe it or not, no matter what your stupid inner voice of doubt says to you, you are a winner. So act like one. And Jesus hates a pussy, so don't be one. Thank you, John.
And don't forget to swallow the homies. Good night.
Always.
Ladies and gentlemen, see you next week, and thank you so much. Don't forget to listen to us on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, and YouTube.
Thank you very much, guys. See you next time.
Have a good one.